The scripture today is from John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another.
The word for today is friends. I want you to do something. You can close your eyes if it helps you to concentrate. Think of your best friend. And I want this to be a friend that is one other than your husband, your wife, your partner, your spousal equivalent, your significant other. Someone outside of that person who you consider a really best friend. Think of them. It may be someone in this room. What word, if you had to pick one word that describes your relationship with that person, what would it be? Consistency. Loyalty. Lasting. Authentic. Peggy. Okay, time out a minute. I have to give Peggy instructions. She knows that she has a limit when she gets up here, when it stops being a stewardship moment and becomes a mini sermon. She was two sentences away from me standing up. So knowing you could not do it in one word, it was the good, the bad, and the ugly. I love you, Peggy. Any one word, anyone else about that friend?
Fun.
Dependable.
Fun.
Fun. Fun.
Non-judgmental.
Non-judgmental. Responsible. Trustworthy. Self-giving. That's almost one word.
Forgiving.
Oh, yeah. Loving. Loyal, honest. That is, if we had an ongoing list of those words, that would sum up the people we all want to be with, right? And it also sums up the people we want to be like, you know. Don't you really? Thank you. You see, if I do an exercise like that, I can shorten the sermon by quite a bit. This morning's passage is about friendship, the depth, length, and height of real friendship. This conversation that Peggy just read from John took place after the Last Supper. Think about that. Jesus was telling them they were now his friends, no longer servants. I mean, think about that. Judas was dismissed. Peter was warned of his betrayal. Jesus was preparing them for the worst. And what did he talk about? Friendship. Friendship. He put it this way: if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. What was the commandment? If you keep my commandments. Yeah, he summed it up. Remember when he was talking to the young ruler? Love God, love your neighbor, as you love yourself. And those three are all interconnected, are they? Can you love another person well and fully if you have no self-love? I don't think so. And you can't have self-love until you have accepted the love of God, can you? So I think those three kind of go together like that. So the key to friendship is love. Then Jesus said to them, "You are no longer my servants. You are my friends." Can you imagine how overwhelming that was for that group? Then he lays out a blueprint for friendship in general. Friendship takes commitment. I heard several different variations of that word. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Okay, now, don't get me wrong. That only works for Jesus. Yeah. Don't go telling your best friend, "You're my friend if you do what I tell you because Jesus said so." Or because Wayne said Jesus said so. But it does take commitment, does it not? And friendship takes knowledge. Jesus said, "I call you my friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." Good friends know each other at a deep level, don't they? This is dangerous, right? Think about that. When you finally develop that close, endearing, intimate friendship with someone, you open yourself up to betrayal. That's why you want to choose your friends carefully. And that's why you want to be a friend carefully. Because friends takes, I think trust was one of the words that y'all put, trust at a deep level. Because real friends share things with each other. Friendship takes conscious choosing, doesn't it? I liked it when the kids were talking about picking a friend, yeah. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." There is a saying from Ecclesiastes. You can pick your friends. You can pick your nose. But you can't pick your friend's nose. I think I got the translation messed up just a little bit. I said that out loud, didn't I? I should have reread this thing. That's the tricky part of friendship, isn't it? That really is the tricky part of friendship. When you want to befriend someone, and they don't. When I was a kid, I wanted to be Chris Cox's friend in the first grade. It's hard to be really cool when you're in the first grade, but Chris Cox was cool. He was the coolest boy in the first grade, and I wanted to be his good friend. And he did not want to be my good friend. And so instead, there was another first grader named Nello. I had never met a boy or a girl named Nello, for that matter. His name was Nello, and he didn't have any friends to speak of. Nello and I became good friends. We developed a friendship that lasted until we were separated at high school. He went to Lubbock High, and I went to Monterey. But Nello was a true friend of the heart. Pick friends like that. Not always the coolest. Not always the smartest. Not always the funniest, but you can just tell when someone will make a good friend. I believe that that is an innate quality in us. True friendship is productive. Jesus said, "And I appointed you to go bear fruit, fruit that will last." True friendship is productive. Why do you think? Think about that friend. Why is that friendship productive for you? Because true friendship will bring out the best in each other, right? If you have a friend whom you see and you always feel worse later, think that through. I'm not telling you to abandon them. You could be good for them. But think that through. True friendship makes you want to be a better person for your friend. For your friend. Jesus concludes with, "I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." Jesus commands us to love one another. Jesus does not command us to like each other. Doesn't say that anywhere. You get to pick whom you like. You don't get to pick whom you love. Whoa. Let that sink in just a second. We are called to love the most unlovable in everyone we meet. Now, that loving them does not mean that they're going to become our best friend, does it? It means that we are going to show them respect. We are going to show them the very positive nature of life. And we are going to do everything we can to make their lives better. So what is the church's role in all of this? The church is a garden. Our garden needs tending. Sarah, we got to get busy out there. I know. Me too. I'll be out there with you. We need a garden group. Who wants to work in the garden here? I saw like 10 hands go up. But I'm using garden as a metaphor, right? The church is a garden where friendships are planted, where they are nurtured, and where they grow. Everyone has close friends here that you have met. Perhaps friends for years and years. I don't know if you've met Doug and Ann Rumener yet, but Ken Rumener and his lovely wife Betty, who went to Glory last year, they met us when we first went to Taylor Lake. And we will become lifelong friends because of that. I've got friends now from churches in Katy and First Colony, from Cypress Creek, from Taylor Lake, I moved around quite a bit there for a while. Because they became friends of the heart after meeting them in church like this. Everyone here has close friends you met here. FCC Conroe is a garden where friendships are planted and God's love grows. Our job is to tend the garden. Amen.